It's time for Outdoor Adventures, a weekly podcast on hunting, fishing, and fresh air fun in the Lakelands. And now your hosts, Ken Wichipen and Jason Lauden.
Welcome, folks. My name's Ken Wichipen.
Hi, I'm Jason Lauden.
And you're actually live in the studio.
Live in studio today. Feels good.
Good thing you came back. Your office was really starting to smell.
You know what? I had to throw that fridge out.
Had to throw the whole fridge?
The entire fridge had to go.
I don't even want to talk about it. This is Outdoor Adventures, the podcast, folks, and we like bringing this to you every week, but we could not bring it to you without our great sponsors, of course. Warehouse Sports, everything you need wrapped up into everything you want for the outdoors in the Lakeland. I know you'll be fixing Daryl up with a bunch of new products.
Whole bunch of new products. New stuff coming in daily. I know that he's been busy, run off his feet with hunting season here. It's an exciting time of year. Get in there and he can set you up with whatever you need.
You bet. You need a new scope. Ammo, you name it, he's got it. And of course, Kolig Brewing and Distilling. Of course, Jason, their new slogan, celebrate in style. But remember,
always enjoy responsibly.
Great stuff out of there. And of course, Double D Bobcat and Construction, the 3 R's, reuse, rework, and recycle. Make it even plow your snow for you, because that's coming.
It is upon us.
Speaking of snow, Dean Duby, who's one of the key guys there at Double D, got a great honor by the Snowmobile Association, gave him Volunteer of the Year. He does so much work in the Cold Lake region. So way to go up there, Dean. That's, you're making everyone proud.
Volunteering like that, that's something that you never hear about these people and the stuff that they do behind the scenes. I'm glad a guy like that's getting recognition for it.
Well deserved indeed. And of course, Hamel's Fine Meats, downtown Cold Lake. They are a smokehouse, a custom meat cutter, and truly a destination for sports people in the Lakeland.
Sports people.
Sports people. I've been running that term.
I like that. I like that for all you people out there that are killing animals, not harvesting.
Okay, we'll get into that later. We'll get into the harvest and kill thing again, of course. You know, speaking of hunting season, 1 week away, to me, November 1st, I've said this many times, is a traditional time to, you know, the opener, if you will.
I mean, I've been at it for a little while now. So it doesn't necessarily feel like the opener to me, but I know what you're saying. I know that it's a big thing for a lot of the hunters out there, and it's definitely an exciting time of year. I know ruts, you're seeing the ruts, you're seeing the scrapes and the rubs on the trees. It's getting to be that time of year for sure.
You know, it's interesting. I had a friend come up from Eastern Canada, and we were talking. He's a hunter too, and it's so different the way they hunt out there. You know, we're chasing whitetails or whatever, moose or bear, whatever it may be. But they are, like, as you know, in Eastern Canada, like usually Ontario East, deer camps are a huge, huge part of the culture down there. I'm not talking, you know, setting up a wall tent in the bush for a couple of days. These are actual, you know, hard buildings, you know, with roofs on them, and that have been used for, you know, generations.
Yeah, and that's definitely a cool way of doing it. I know that there, you know, you do hear about people out here having that as well, little you know, almost like trapper cabin style camps out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm envious of that, because I know what kind of, you know, memories are made at a camp like that. It's a cool thing for sure. And I just don't know how you'd bring that, you know, to as big as it is out in the East. I don't know if that's something that would catch on out here in the West.
Well, it's been going on for literally hundreds of years out East. And the interesting thing is, I was mentioning this to you before we got on the air, he pays $5,000 a year to be a member of this group of guys. So this money goes into a pot, and it's used to maintenance the cabin, plow the road, all kinds of stuff. What are your thoughts on like paying money like that for a hunt camp?
I mean, that's a lot of loot, I guess, if you can do it. Now, did he mention this was a question I was going to bring up on air here. Did he mention, like, is that for, you know, rights or property?
80 acres they have.
80
so
acres?
So it's like, you know, whatever, 10 guys or whatever, and they have exclusive right to that 80 acres. A very, you know, populated part of the world, of course, in Ontario. He's an hour north of Toronto. So, you know, it's still going to be pretty busy in that part of the world. And so, yeah, so they got their 80 acres. They go out there. He says a lot of years he doesn't even shoot one. He just goes there for the camaraderie.
For sure. And I like to hear that for sure. I know, you know, paying for land, having land, exclusive rights to certain lands, I know is a very controversial topic in the hunting industry right now. So, you know, it's one of those things. I know if you have the means to do it and you can, I mean, it's nothing illegal about it, but I know it rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
I don't. It's very common. You watch like Michigan, all them states, Minnesota, they all have that, the hunting cap kind of mentality or whatever. They have their group set up, and it's really neat. I think it's a cool way to go. The thing that he says, it's the generational thing where he says the oldest guy in camping is about 87 and the youngest kid is probably, you know, old enough for 12 years old, first hunt that they can go on. So he says it's fun. Meet a lot of people. They've actually invited me out. I'm really seriously thinking of going and spending a few days with them just to see. As an observer, of course, I would not get a tag. But that's another thing. I invited them over to my house, and I said, you got to eat some good Alberta beef while you're here, you know.
Absolutely.
And he goes, well, what's the difference? Well, he learned, you know, and picked up some great steaks from Hamel's, as a matter of fact, and just wonderful. Anyways, we get talking. I got a pretty nice mount walking in the house, and he looked up at that, and he goes, what is that? I said, that's a whitetail. And he was in awe, like literally. He showed me pictures of, you know, animals that they have shot down there. A lot thinner. They don't have the big necks like ours do, even during the rut. And just a slighter animal. The horns are more, how can I say it? Tiny?
Light, skinny, spindly.
Yeah, that's the way I was going to say it.
Like most of the deer that I've seen you,
get. Oh, yeah. Thanks. But yeah, like if you look at some of the mule deer, for example, that you've shot, I also showed him the pronghorn antelope that I have as a mount, and he said it was one of the most beautiful animals he's ever seen. So
yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting how the same species of animal, you know, you get a whitetail from here in Alberta, and even the... You're talking antlers, but even the body sizes and how different the body sizes can be. Antlers, same thing. I know I've talked to different people from all over, you know, even down in the States, and some of the deer, like they say that, and I've heard this from different people who have had Americans come up. The bodies on the deer up here are so big that they actually will pass these deer, thinking that they're not big enough, but it's just because their body to antler ratio, it sure is interesting.
It's been studied lots by biologists, and what they figure it's the northern climate. They need more protein. They need to pack on that muscle to make it through the winters, basically. So you know, it's nature and it's adaptation, if you will, of the animals. They don't need, in Texas, you don't need to pack on all that fat to make it through a winter.
Yeah, I find it. You see some of those deer that are down in Texas, you know, they'll be, I don't know, they wouldn't even be 200-pound animals, and they're carrying, you know, 200 inches of antler up on their head.
I don't know how they even lift their heads up.
It looks so weird to me, and there has to be something, like you say, something that over the generations of animals that they're, up here, they got to be a little hardier to be able to go through these winters.
Yeah, they do, and that's why, they're eating that high, alfalfa, all that kind of good stuff to really pack on the weight, and it is a great benefit for us because we get to eat more meat.
Not much more that you can
more
put in the freezer.
More on the frame.
That's
or that
right.
Stinky fridge that you had in your office.
That wasn't the wild meat. I wouldn't put the wild meat in the fridge here.
You know what, Jason? We're running out of time for the first part of the show. I know we got so much to talk about. I want to talk about locations for opening day. I know that you do some guide work in the local area.
I do.
So you've got your finger on the hub, if you will, on the pulse.
I do. I like to think I do, but it's hunting. It's one of those things that you can't, you don't have them tied to trees, and just the more time that you're going to spend out there, the more likely you're going to be
Absolutely.
Able to get one.
So. Like I say, we're running out of time. We're going to talk really quick about our Facebook page. Check us out, Fishing and Hunting in the Lakeland. Send us in your pictures. We always want to see those. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, as a matter of fact, or get all of our episodes that we've done now. I think we're in 20, we're over 20.
20 22, so
we're,
23,
we're doing, and of course, Spotify also. And My Lakeland Now, click on the podcast button.
It's easy.
You can find us all. And you know what? Either you kill or you harvest, it don't matter.
Kill, harvest, I mean, it's up in the air, whatever, however you want to say it.
We're going to talk more about that when we come back. My name is Ken Wedgepin.
I'm Jason Ludd.
This is Outdoor Adventures, the podcast, folks. We're going to play a couple commercials. Be right back.
Double D Contracting and Construction wants to recycle your concrete. Recycled concrete has many benefits, but the most important is that it will save you money. If you have concrete that you want gone, visit DoubleDContracting.ca today.
Hunting season is in full swing at Hamel Meats in Cold Lake. From cut to wrap, they offer full processing. Try one of their 12 flavors of their world-renowned jerky, including bourbon, four peppercorn, and roast garlic. For more, visit hamelsqualitymeats.com.
Outdoor Adventures. All your fresh air fun in the Lakeland. Back to Ken and Jason.
Welcome back, folks, from that polished set of commercials and ads.
They sure do a good, nice job.
I know.
That.
Just Mike Mountain Mike. We tell him all the time. He just does a wonderful job, and all the folks here that help us out at the Palatial Country 99 Studio. But Jason, we could not do this show, of course, without our great sponsors, Warehouse Sports Downtown St. Paul. They have everything you need wrapped up into everything you want for a great day in the outdoors. And I'm sure he's full of hunters in there probably right now as we speak.
Absolutely. You walk in there, and it's I guarantee if you're there first thing in the morning, there's going to be guys in there full dressed in camo, yeah, ready. You know, and I know there's lots of talk going on at the shop. It's a good place just to be with the good people that that go in and frequent the shop.
And you always get that one guy with the orange hat that's about 30 years old, you know, cranked on sideways. That wouldn't be hunting without that.
No, that's true. Very true.
And of course, Cold Lake Brewing and Distilling, and I love their new slogan, celebrate in style. But Jason?
Always enjoy responsibly.
We always do, as a matter of fact. And Double D Construction, they have the 3 R's, reuse, rework, and recycle. And remember, they can plow your snow for you. Imagine that. Hamel's Fine Meats, downtown Cold Lake. They're a custom smokehouse, a butcher, and truly a destination for sports people in the area. Go down there. They also got a band. You know that, right?
I do.
Yeah. So, like, you can do everything. You can book your meal, you know, get some food for your, you know, your wedding or whatever.
And have the entertainment.
And have the entertainment right there. Talk to Robert. He can fix you out. I want to get him on here, actually. Start talking about what he wants to see with meat coming into the shop, because people are going to, I imagine this week is going to be busy in there.
Absolutely. And I have been there in the heat of the, you know, right in the thick of the rut, and when people rifle season's open, they fill up. It's a busy shop there, so definitely
it's quick though. They're fast.
Absolutely. Like, I'm can't
surprised
believe
how
fast
quick they
able
do
to.
It and just wonderful product. Jason, I want to talk some strategy now. Opening day, November 1st, is just around the corner here. For me, I like to beat the crowds. You know, I think it's important. Opening day is always busy. I don't care what day of the week it is. You're seeing lots of people in the woods.
I know a lot of people take that, you know, take that day off just so that they're
able to. It's a Friday
to,
this year, so it'll even be, you know, busier.
It'll be a long weekend for a lot of people with it being Friday. And, yeah, definitely getting out there, beating all the crowds out there is how I like to do it as well.
Another good trick that I like to do is I like to use the crowds to push deer towards you, kind of use them in your, to your advantage.
If you can get out in front of them, that's definitely a great, and you
know,
great
you,
strategy.
And you know how you do that. You get up early.
I know 5:14, that zone, quadding around and stuff like that, you're not allowed to be on your quad till noon.
That's
so,
right.
You know, if you get out there in the pitch black before people start, you know, moving around and stuff like that, that's definitely a great strategy to hopefully get one early first light.
Even, like, you're hunting a farmer's field, you have permission, and you know that there's an alfalfa field where there's some, you've seen lots of deer. Get in there early, get set up so you're not spooking nothing.
No, for sure, and that's definitely a great strategy. I am always a early riser for that opening day, opening week, you know, any day that I'm going hunting. If I'm going to be spending some time out there, I like to get out there long before the sun's coming up. You know, get in there, you're going to be making noise when you're walking in. Get in there early enough, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour before legal shooting light. And
that quick? Like, to get in there an hour before?
I mean, I like to get in there earlier than that, but definitely,
I don't,
you know, that 20.
I'd be lying if I said I did.
I was going to ask you, I was going to throw that one right back at
crack
you, but I thought I'd leave it alone today. But no, definitely get in there nice and early, and it definitely makes it a lot more. And it's also nice watching that sun come up first
Absolutely.
Thing in the morning.
I love that time of day.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen it for a while, but
I'll tell you one thing though, that it seems like you get out there, you get settled in nice and warm, you know, because you just walked in, and it seems like, and it's always been this way for me, when that sun starts hitting the horizon,
drops 20 degrees,
it seems to it gets so cold. Those cool crisp mornings, you know, early November like that, are probably some of my favorite times to be out there hunting.
It was interesting, my friend from Ontario, and we had another buddy of mine, and we were talking about hunting and stuff like that, and my one friend, he's from here, and he was born and raised in Saskatchewan, and he says, well, we just, you know, I like to drive around and look at all the fields, and then, you know, that's, we call it road hunting. And my friend from Ontario was like, what, you guys actually drive around looking for deer? And it's very common out. It is. We got a lot of space out west here.
There are a lot of people who you know, and you see it day in and day out when you're on your way out there, people, you know, trucks with people sitting both front seats, back seats, windows half rolled down. It's I see it too often.
Heater hunting.
I know it. Yeah, that's right. It's a good way to stay warm. You know, it is a lot of people get real mad about it. For me personally, I actually don't mind it. You know, they can stay in their trucks. you know, the odd guy will fluke out a decent deer, for, you know, hunting from the road like that, which, you know.
Every year it happens.
It seems Absolutely. To, for sure. And it is a little frustrating, but I also think, you know, for that odd, you know, the odd person, the amount of people that do it, it's one of those things that I'm okay with it, because being back in the bush, quite often they're pushed, again, like we were talking about, they're pushing those animals back further into the bush. And that's often where I find you have the most success.
Well, I think road hunting in general, depending on where you're doing, obviously not off a major highway. There are roads that are not major roads. They're farm roads going through fields and stuff like that. And that's a different thing. And if you've got mobility issues, for example, you have to do it. You got no choice. They actually will give you a special license for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, I mean, obviously not from the truck or touching the truck, but if you're jumping out of the truck and getting away from the truck, I know that you know, there is a way to do that where it's, you know,
stalking,
where it's not illegal to be doing it. So again, I don't you know, it's not my way of hunting, but I more power to you. And like you say, for people who do have those you know, mobility issues or whatever it is, you know, that's at least they're still trying to get out there and hopefully they have someone to help them bring that deer back to the truck.
Absolutely. Blind essentials, next topic I want to talk about. I love the ground blinds. I know you do tree stands quite a bit. You do ground blinds also, but I'm a huge fan of the ground blind. One thing about a ground blind, if you don't have a chair that you fall asleep in, get a new chair, because that's a key thing about a ground blind. You're comfortable.
Comfort's definitely, you know, something that is a luxury, and that's why, you know, in a ground blind is definitely really nice to be able to have that luxury. Tree stand's a little different. You also, having a little heater in those ground blinds, I know, especially in the minus.
The little buddy.
For sure. Little buddy heater, those are really good. Obviously, a lot safer than, and they don't make a whole lot of noise.
They're quiet,
really quiet.
Not like the old ones that they used to have, the
sunflower heaters.
Yeah, those ones, and or the ladybugs.
Yeah,
and they were noisy. They'd be hissing away, and I've been with, you know, deer. As soon as they walk up, they can hear that, and they're looking around. They're wondering what the heck's going on. But it's the buddy heaters are by far the way to go
for sure. And that's something that I like to have when I'm going to be staying there from, you know, sunrise to sunset. Because if I'm going out hunting and I'm able to stay out for the day, that's how I like to hunt. Because those deer, especially when you're getting into the rut like it is now, those deer are moving all hours of the day, and I'm sure probably night as well. You'll see them later on in the, you know, later rut, and they'll be walking
absolutely
around like zombies at that point.
We'll talk about that later in future episodes, but yes, absolutely. Be comfortable. Bring some high energy food in there, like to keep you warm. I don't know how many times I've had that chill, and then I'll grab a can of sardines or something and eat it, and then wow, you're warm again.
I just got chills eating. You talking about eating a can of sardines, but that's just me.
You don't like sardines?
I'm not that guy.
We can't be friends.
I don't know if I could sit in the ground blind with you while you're eating sardines.
Yeah, you know, the smell is another thing that I want to talk about. A lot of people say, you know, don't. The can of sardines, for example, the deer are going to smell that. I think that's BS, like total BS. I think those blinds hold more scent than they give.
They certainly do hold a lot more scent, for sure. There's, you know, something to be said about setting up in a place where you're playing the wind. That's how I've always, just being an archery hunter, you got to get a lot closer. I'm a firm believer in scent control, for sure. In a ground blind, I don't think it makes as big of a difference.
I've been with a guy smoking a cigarette while deer are walking right past us. Smoking a cigarette.
Upwind or downwind?
Let me think. I couldn't really tell, actually, but he was smoking a cigarette in the blind.
Yep.
And if I was that close, I bet you I could smell that cigarette.
So you know that deer,
if you don't smoke, you can smell smoke.
Maybe that's one of those smoking deer.
No, he might. I think he had a can of Copenhagen.
Oh.
One of those guys. But anyways, I really think the blind thing, with the scent, it really is an advantage. When you're in a tree stand, absolutely, completely different. I mean, they get that whiff and they're gone.
For sure. And in a ground blind also, the nice thing about that, it covers up a lot of the movement. So if you're one of those fidgety people, can't sit still, yeah, it's also, you know, definitely beneficial to be in a ground blind, especially at this time of year. Blocks all the wind, or the majority of the wind, unless you got all the windows open in the blind. Blocks a lot of the wind. Good way to stay a little bit warmer, make it a little more comfortable. If you're taking out, let's say, a youngster, whoever, someone that can't sit still like that too, you know, they can be sitting there on an iPad,
exactly,
or reading a book or whatever.
On
you know,
the phone, whatever.
If whatever it service. Is. You know, in a ground blind, it doesn't, you know, covers a lot of that up, and that's a great way, you know, to get people into that.
One thing about the ground blind, I see guys and gals, they'll be resting their rifle right on the blind itself, like out the window in the mesh. No, don't do that. Buy a dedicated gun rest for your rifle in the blinds. It's so much better. There's so many good ones on the market now that are light, collapsible, and solid. I mean, it's a definite neat must have.
For sure, yeah. Those trigger sticks are one that I know are super popular nowadays. They, you know, it's got just a little trigger, drops down to whatever height you want it, and you know, you can set it so quickly up, and makes a big difference. That can be the difference between you know, making your shot and either wounding or totally missing your animal.
And you got to have that good clothing. Another thing is still, even though you're sitting in a blind with a heater, you still dress for the day. I mean, you still wear your warm stuff.
For sure. The nice thing about in the blind, you don't have to worry about wearing the camo. You know, something dark is definitely, because when they're looking in there, it's going to look a lot darker inside that blind than being out in a tree stand or even just on the ground outside.
Technically, Saskatchewan, you still have to wear white or orange when you're in your blind, because they still make you wear the white or orange during a rifle season.
Yeah, for sure.
Unlike Alberta.
Alberta's different. I always like to, you know, throw an orange toque on at least for the walk in, walk out. You know, safety first is always a priority.
When I first started hunting in a ground blind, it was a fatal mistake one day. We're sitting there, my friend and I, and we opened up the front and the back windows. So literally, you know, we could see front and back. And we kind of set it up on a hill above the water hole where we were hunting. So the deer would come in and they'd look up and take off right away. I mean, five animals came in and ran. And I'm thinking, what the heck is going on?
Looking
here?
Right at you.
Well, I went down to I figured, stay here. I'm going to go down and look up at the blind. It looked like there was a hole in the middle of the sky because you could see right through the blind and there's a big patch of sunlight coming through. We were shining.
Yeah, I can see that for sure, especially if you're skyline like that, on the top of a hill. That's, you know, definitely if you get that down a little halfway down that hill or something, so you don't get silhouetted up there. That's also a good way of, you know, making that blind.
Thinking about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Good also, I like to pile some trees and stuff, cut down some, you know, spruce, a little spruce or something, just pack them around the stand just to give it that much more of a natural look.
For sure, brush it in. It also, like you said, with spruce browse, that's going to cover up a little bit of that scent that you're telling me doesn't matter anyway, but
you're telling me it matters.
I mean, jury's out.
Why do you have to argue all the time?
The jury's out.
Jeez, you know, it's harvest or kill, scent or no scent. Either way, we're giving the listeners advice.
That's right. Can't agree on everything, unfortunately.
We sure can. I got to talk the election real quick. It just a couple weeks ago. What do you think with the Liberals back in and their gun control stuff? Do you think this is going to be a problem?
I think it will be. That's just personal opinion from what I've seen, what they've talked about. Maybe one saving grace, a minority government.
Might not be able
to push it through. You know, it's one of those things.
I know.
The gun registration that they're talking about doing and the new rules and regulations that I know that they were, you know, was part of their campaign is, you know, that could really be detrimental to a lot of the sportsmen in the area.
Sports people. All you sports people listening to this, make sure you write your MLA. Tell them that you're concerned about this kind of stuff. Let them know, because our voice does matter.
It certainly does, and got to say thanks that we have this platform to be able to talk to people about that. I know it's something that I know you and I both very passionately believe in, so it's nice to be able to have this time, but it takes everybody. It's not just us. It takes everybody, so definitely write that MLA and do your part.
When it comes to gearing up for your next hunting trip, fishing trip, or anything outdoors, rely on Warehouse Sports. They have the widest selection of rifles, sell Saskatchewan fishing licenses, and so much more. If you don't find what you need, Warehouse Sports will get it just for you. Locally owned and operated for 15 years, so they know the area and what's needed for an outdoor adventure in Alberta. Stop by Warehouse Sports on Main Street in St. Paul or visit their Facebook page today.
Why not stock up on some Cold Lake Brewing and Distilling's beers, vodkas, and rum for the holidays? And Cold Lake Brewing is excited to announce that two new types of gin are available. Cold Lake Brewing and Distilling. Why not celebrate in style?
Must be legal drinking age. Please drink responsibly.
Speaking of the voice that matters, Mountain Mike has given me the you guys are running a little long thing.
It's time to go.
So check us out on Facebook, Fishing and Hunting in the Lakeland. We've got what we're doing is posted on there regularly with a bunch of other cool stuff that I like to put on there. So check that out, of course. And of course, I'd like to thank Mountain Mike. He does put this thing together every week for us.
He does, for sure. Got to thank the listeners and send in those pictures, too. We want to see those big bucks that are hopefully going to be hitting the dirt here in the next little while.
Should be happening.
Being harvested.
Harvested or killed. No, just killed. Check us out, Apple Podcasts, of course, Spotify, My Lakeland Now. Click on the podcast button. Jason, thank you. It's good to have you back in the province.
It's good to be back. I had a lot of fun while I was out on the road, but it's really nice to be back and looking forward to spending some time out in the bush.
How are the Weasel River Otters doing?
They're not looking so good.
No?
Not looking good this year, but we'll see. You know what? It's a rebuilding year, and you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, next week we should have, I'm hoping to have a special guest on, Richard Kitchen from Wild TV. Talk to him. He's going to have to spend some time with us, talk some tips, talk some political stuff again, because that man is very opinionated when it comes to the outdoors. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, in between time, my name is Ken Witchman.
Hi, I'm Jason Lawton.
This is Outdoor Adventures, the podcast, folks. And until then, next week, we will see you on the podcast.
This has been Outdoor Adventures. Now get out there and explore. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and Spotify for more.